Douglas Crook, Wednesday, January 12th, 2011.
Those of you that are using the little booklets as a study guide, we're ready. We are in the midst of considering the subheading of discernment and understanding, and you'll find that on page 5 of the little booklet. And we're actually ready for the verse under that heading that is at the top of page 6. And that is Proverbs 14 and verse 33. Remember, when these verses refer us to understanding, people of understanding act this way or they benefit in this way. The understanding has to do with perceiving things as God sees them. People that look at things in the light of Scripture, look at themselves, look at others, look at their situation and circumstances in the light of God's Word and act accordingly, those are the ones who have understanding. And so when these verses refer to those that have understanding, that's what it's talking about. And as all of these Proverbs teach us, they teach us attitudes and actions, words that lead us to success. Wisdom is using knowledge in a way that leads to success. And so we're talking about success in the affairs of life, the day-to-day affairs, your family, your business, just the day-to-day affairs of being successful in life. Nobody, I don't think, wants to be a failure, wants to be a fool, at least not if they are thinking as God intended us to think. But the problem is, many people ignore, including Christians, ignore these very clear statements of wisdom and truth that will lead to us being successful, lead to us being wise. So let's continue to look at these verses that have to do, these proverbs that have to do with having understanding, seeing things like God sees them and acting accordingly. Proverbs 14, verse 33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. So the contrast is those who have understanding have wisdom resting in somewhat of a hidden capacity in their heart. Whereas fools, what they have, they make known. It's right. It's out there for everybody to see. I like the commentary that I found in Jameson Fawcett Brown, and they make this reference. There's a Hebrew adage that says, a vessel full of coins will make no noise. You're getting ahead of me, Brother Freestone. But if there is only one coin in it, it will make a rattle. The more one learns, the more learned one is, the more modest he will be. And the more unlearned, the more presumptuous and ostentatious that individual is. And I believe that is a proper understanding of this passage. Those that are truly wise, those that truly understand things as God understands them, have wisdom resting in their hearts and brings rest to their life. And it's an anchor to their life. It's a constant source of that inner peace and joy and contentment. When you understand things as God understands them, it rests in your heart and brings rest to your life. But those who do not use those who do not have understanding, well, let back up a little bit. Those that have that kind of understanding, they don't use their wisdom to impress others. They use it and apply it to their own life when necessary. They share it when it's appropriate and profitable. But it first and foremost is that inner peace that gives them rest. A wise person will not always say what he or she is thinking unless he or she feels that it's helpful in a situation. Have you been in a group of people, and especially in a passionate discussion, whether it be whatever it might be, I won't give any topics, but there are a number of things that set people off passionately. And have you ever been in a discussion and you notice there might be one person who's just kind of listening and doesn't seem to be all riled? And it's not that they're disinterested or they don't care, but there's just a restfulness about them. And they don't just enter in and say anything and everything like everybody else is doing. That's a wise person. Or we will find out even a fool can look wise if he keeps his mouth shut. So he may look like a wise person. But a wise person doesn't always say what they're thinking. Now, when it's appropriate and when it's profitable and helpful to the situation, then yes, they will bring forth that wisdom. But wisdom rests in the heart of those who have understanding. The fool, on the other hand, is one who has got the one coin and rattles. They quickly offer their 2 cents in every conversation, in every situation, and sadly, that's about all their comment is worth, 2 cents. But they're going to give it. And this is what this passage says. A fool offers it. It's known. Whatever the fool is thinking, you know it, because he's going to say it, because he thinks it's wise. So may we learn to be wise and not foolish. May we fill our hearts with the wisdom of God's word, and may we let it rest there. May we let it give us rest. And then when it is appropriate, as we'll find out in some of these other proverbs, we can give it forth as well. But first it must rest in the heart. Chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 21 is next in the list. Some of these we're going to go through fairly quickly. This one actually is very similar to Proverbs 10:23 that we had earlier. But 15:21 says, "Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly." If you remember, I gave a paraphrase of Proverbs 10:23 that says this: "Doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible." So again, this is a measuring stick that you can measure yourself, because we're talking a lot about fools and wise people, and all of us are going to immediately want to describe ourselves as wise, and I hope so. I hope that is my desire. I want to be wise. I want God to consider me wise, and I want others to consider me wise. But this is a measuring stick by which I can measure myself. What is my attitude towards the things that God says are wrong? And this is something that I didn't emphasize, and for our children and young people, I want to kind of bring it down to your level so you can apply this. Do you enjoy telling a lie and getting away with it? Well, I think all of us here at some point in our life can answer yes, we did. But that was a measuring stick to tell us how foolish we were in that act and in that moment. If you enjoy doing what your folks say you shouldn't do, I got away with that, you're being foolish. You may get away with it. Your parents may never know anything about it. But God says it's foolish. And there's always negative consequences for foolishness. And then we can bring that to every area of maturity and activity. What makes you happy? We need to come to the place where doing the will of God is our pleasure. That's what brings us joy. The next verse is in Proverbs 16 and verse 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. This is a constant theme through Proverbs. We've already dealt many times with it. But the value of this wisdom that comes from the Word of God cannot be overstated. There's nothing more valuable in this world than knowing the will of God and yielding to it, letting it govern your life. Silver and gold cannot buy happiness, it cannot buy peace, it cannot buy joy. Wisdom can bring all of those things. Money cannot mend or maintain happy and healthy relationships. Oh, money can buy friends for a while, but not true friends and not relationships that are healthy and profitable. But wisdom can bring all of those things about. Possessions cannot give you the assurance and hope for tomorrow or for eternity, but the wisdom of Scripture can. That's why it should be pursued with more zeal and passion than anything else that man seeks after. It really is that valuable. And that's why we come out on a cold night like tonight, is because we understand, we esteem the value of the wisdom of the Word of God. Proverbs 17, verse 24. Proverbs 17, 24. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. I have seen the reality of this proverb over and over again in the lives of God's people. I like the paraphrase that the version called the Message gives, and it is a paraphrase, but I believe it does accurately reflect the thought of the proverb. It says this: the perceptive, that is the one who has understanding, find wisdom in their own front yard. Fools look for it everywhere but right here. I like that. And I've seen the reality of it. This proverb makes me think of the many believers that have had the opportunity to hear the preaching and teaching of the whole counsel of the Pauline gospel, and that have chosen to abandon the riches and the value of that preaching and teaching because their eyes were looking for something that wasn't right in front of them. They had to go in search of something they thought was more valuable. Their eyes have been drawn to programs or entertainment or relationships or something that seemed more attractive to them than that which was right in front of them. Some of them were raised in it and heard it. And yet it did not have an appeal, for the one who has understanding sees wisdom right in front of them when it's there. But the fool looks for that wisdom, success, happiness, joy at the ends of the earth. There's a secular proverb that we all are familiar with: the grass is always greener on the other side. Well, what happens when you get to the other side? Well, now you got to look for another side, because the grass is always greener on the other side. The problem with discontentment with the things that God says should bring us contentment is that whenever you go in search of something to bring you contentment, the only problem is you always take yourself with you, and that's where the problem is. The discontentment is in your heart. It's not in your surroundings. Job 23 and verse 12 says, Job came to the place where he realized this: I have not departed from the commandments of his lips, Job said. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's how much he valued the Word of God. That's how much we should value the simple preaching and teaching of the gospel of God's grace, as it's revealed to the Apostle Paul. In a couple of weeks, Lord willing, I'm going to start a series on essential doctrines that were revealed to the Apostle Paul. And none of them will be new to anyone who's been in the meeting at all. But it is these doctrines that bring wisdom, first for salvation, and then for godly living with all of its benefits in this life and in eternity. But we need to look at these truths with understanding and understand that wisdom's right here. You don't have to go around the world or somewhere else to find the wisdom that's going to lead to success in the will of God. I find it right in my own front yard when we are listening and studying and applying God's word to our life. If you have a banquet set before you, why go looking somewhere else to satisfy your hunger? The prodigal son, he lifted up his eyes and he looked outside his father's house. He was discontent in his father's house. He looked and he said, that looks like a better situation out there. Father, give me what's coming to me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go and search to the ends of the earth for the wisdom that will bring success and happiness. Well, he left his father's house. And where did he end up? Now, for a while, he did have what he thought he wanted. He had all kinds of friends. He had fun. But ultimately, he ended up in the pigsty. But thank goodness for the account that tells us that he came to his senses. He acted foolishly, but he returned to the path of wisdom when he repented. And he remembered, you know, I'm going back where I started. I'm going back where I was because that's the wisdom I need. In my father's house. In my father's will. This is what we need to learn. When you feel, and all of us at different degrees and in different times, we have all, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have all wrestled with these thoughts and these temptations. You know, this isn't enough. In some degree or some measure, you have. We need to listen to this proverb. Look in your own front yard. Look in the Word of God. It's right there. The wisdom that you need for success, and don't look to the ends of the earth. Proverbs 19, verse 8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. You want to be good to yourself? Get the wisdom of God. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have the best of life and the best of eternity. That's a good thing. But you have to understand where it comes from. It comes from knowing and heeding, observing, keeping the wisdom of God. When you ignore that, when you ignore God's loving instruction, then you do yourself harm. And this is what is difficult to watch people destroy themselves by choices that are in direct contradiction to the Word of God. And you tell them, but the Bible is clear. This choice is wrong. It's sinful, and therefore, it's not in your best interest. Many times when you have to bring correction from the Word of God to God's people, they think you don't like them. They think you're arrogant. They think you're self-righteous. They don't understand. Because I love you, because I care for you, you need to know these choices will destroy you. And if you want to be good to yourself, you need to let the Word of God govern your life. And this is what the Bible teaches us all through. The next verse in Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel, and the word in the Hebrew means advice or a plan. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Now this proverb could have two applications, the first one being just personal, and it has to do with when you hide the Word of God in your heart, and then you have a need to find a course of action for a choice or a decision in your life. When you hide the Word of God in your heart, it's like that deep water that needs to be brought to the surface so you can benefit from it, so it will refresh you and bring you life and joy. When you hide the Word of God in your heart, when you begin to meditate on the Word of God as you're thinking about your course of action, your decision, then you can bring it to the surface and it will become, you can put that plan, that wise plan in action that's in accordance with the Word of God. But I also believe it can be applied, and this may actually be its primary understanding, and that is asking advice and counsel from someone else. The counsel, the advice of a wise individual has it deep in their heart, just as we had earlier. A wise person doesn't just spout off everything they know to everybody and anybody. But someone who truly desires to be wise and understands things as God does, they will know how to come and to bring forth from that other individual that has that deep well of wisdom, bring it forth in order that they might benefit from it. There's a truism that says unsolicited advice is unheeded advice. And as a pastor, I can tell you that's true. There are times when I have to bring correction or advice because it affects others or the congregation and for their safety, then I have to address the situation. But I can tell you that almost always that when I have to approach someone with that correction, it is seldom received. Now, sometimes there is a miracle, and it has its intended purpose. But I have found that those that come and seek counsel, those who come and ask for the instruction of Scripture, that I find that they are most likely to receive it and heed it and act upon it and benefit from the wisdom that comes from God's Word. So we need to learn to look to those and seek godly counsel from those who have proven to be vessels of wisdom, that have hidden God's Word in their heart. When we need that extra strength and that extra guidance, a person of understanding will know how to draw that counsel out of such hearts. Chapter 20 and verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. Well, that's interesting. It kind of should go without saying, I guess. But this proverb, again, may have a couple of different applications. It may be stating the same truth that's found in Psalm 94, if you'll turn there. Psalm 94 and verses 7 to 13. This expounds that thought a little bit. Psalm 94 and verses 7 to 13. Yet they say, the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people. Are you fools? When will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. A wise person will live their life, both privately and publicly, with the understanding that we are constantly in the presence of the all-seeing, all-knowing God. But a fool lives and talks as if the creator of our ears and our eyes is himself deaf and blind. You know unbelievers like that. You know Christians like that. But the one who created our ears and our eyes, don't you think he sees? Don't you think he hears? This proverb may also be stressing something else. And that is that God gave us both our ears and our eyes in which we are to pursue wisdom. Revelation 2 and 29 is one of the examples in Revelation where we are told, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, of course, this thought goes beyond our physical ears and talks about truly hearing the will of God with the purpose of being transformed, with the purpose of heeding it. But before that spiritual hearing can take place, we have to utilize our natural ears. And the God of wisdom, the God who created everything from nothing, he created the ears and he created the eyes. 1 Timothy 4. In verses 12 to 16, we're to use our eyes that he created. Instead of being filled with the lust of things outside of the will of God and looking to the ends of the earth for that wisdom, we need to use our eyes for the reading of God's word. 1 Timothy 4, 12 to 16, and that will lead then to our spiritual seeing, which has to do with spiritual enlightenment, to understand God in his way. But again, a lot of that starts with that physical eye that God created. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress or your profit may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save yourself and those who hear you. So again, we have the ear involved, but the eye. God created the eye that we might use it to read the Word of God. What we do here on I get some feedback, not always positive, on the type of study that we're doing in Proverbs. We're doing a lot of reading, and we're doing a lot of going through some of these fairly quickly. But as I stated, and I wrestled with this, and, you know, Lord, how do I present it? I mean, it's your word. I make no apologies for it. But how do I present it in a way that, well, that the people won't go to sleep on me? Or... And the fact is this, there is no apology. As a pastor, I look at the wisdom found here, and if God's people would just apply these things, take time to think about them in their day-to-day decisions, relationships, actions, and activities, man, we would be so much better off as individuals, as a local assembly, and then as that would grow on to every place that we have any influence in society. This is the kind of practical wisdom that we need. And so, reading the Word of God, God made these eyes for the purpose of being wise through the reading of his word. Ephesians 1:18, I'll read that to you. It says, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So that goes beyond just the practical stuff of this life, which is important and is a part of entering into the fullness of the eternal riches of Christ. You can't get to that eternal riches and fullness by ignoring the practical stuff. They go hand in hand. But all of it has to do with the natural eye that leads to the spiritual eye that leads to the riches of eternity. The next subheading that we have is knowledge. And the thought behind all of these, of course, are very interrelated: wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Knowledge emphasizes, and these verses emphasizes, the know-how to do something. The practical know-how to get something done, and obviously the context is to do it right, to do it successfully. So these verses have to do with that kind of knowledge. Proverbs 10, verse 14. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. This is similar to what we had earlier. Those who fear the Lord learn to hide the word of God in their hearts, where they can access it and apply it anytime they need it. It's stored up there. The phrase store up, it's a phrase that's used of a secret place where you hide treasure, where you hide something valuable, and you do store it up. It's a secret place. This is not something you want to tell everybody about, and everybody knows where all your valuables are. This is a secret place that you hide valuable things. Now, that doesn't mean that wise people, people of knowledge, don't share their wisdom. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that they don't use their knowledge simply to impress others or to draw attention to themselves. Look how much I know. Or look at all of my wealth. Look how much I know. We all have met, I'm sure, from time to time in our experience, those who like to try to impress you with what they know. You find that in the secular world. You find that in church. People who just want to impress you with what they know. A true person, a wise person, treasures knowledge in their heart for the purpose of using it when necessary, not to show it off. But in contrast, the fool who does not fear the Lord, he will speak from a superficial understanding of himself and his circumstances and situation, and the result is that he quickly makes his circumstance worse. His destruction is right there at his fingertips, because every time he turns around, he's opening up his mouth and saying something stupid. That's what a fool does. So once again, the exhortation is study. Study God's word, treasure it in your heart, in your mind. God will tell you how to do things. There's so many things he does tell us. Often people say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't tell me what to do in this area or this circumstance. There are so many areas where the Bible is quite clear how we are to do or not do something, that if we will simply put those things into practice, and then we'll learn to hear the voice of the Spirit because we've learned it through His Word, and then we'll begin to understand that personal leading from the Spirit as well. But let's treasure knowledge in our heart. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. This proverb is simply stating that our actions and our choices do reveal whether we are fools or wise. A prudent man will make choices that will lead to success in his natural affairs, as well as in doing the will of God. But a fool makes choices that are openly seen to be foolish because of their sad and tragic results. And so many times I have seen Christians, we won't even talk about the world, the application is there, but I've seen Christians, carnal Christians, make foolish choice after foolish choice, and it leads to ruined families, ruined jobs, ruined lives, and many times they blame everybody else for their sad condition. Well, this proverb says, your acts reveal whether you've been foolish or whether you've been wise. Proverbs 14, verse 18. The simple inherit folly. That's their inheritance. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. People that have understanding, the understanding that comes from agreeing with God's word and living accordingly, the prudent people are crowned with a know-how how to get things done. How to get them done in a way that honors God and that leads to His best for themselves and those around them. There are benefits and consequences for our choices. And we begin to experience those in this life, and they will continue to be experienced. There will continue to be benefits and consequences in eternity, even for the child of God. The unsaved simple person that inherits folly, the simple is the one who believes anything and everything. So we can apply that to an unsaved person that believes that all religion is one religion as good as another, because a simple person believes everything. But they're going to inherit eternal condemnation because of such simple thinking, foolish thinking. The carnal Christian who never learns to rightly divide the Word of God and apply it to their choices, they're going to inherit unnecessary sorrow and suffering in this life. Unnecessary suffering. Because of their inheritance in this life is folly. And in eternity, there will be a loss of the fullness of inheritance, the loss of the fullness of reward before the judgment seat of Christ. So there are consequences, even in eternity, that will be inherited. But I'm glad that we can be prudent. We can be wise. Take God's word and act upon it. And in this life, it will be a crown. It will be an ornament of beauty and wealth and privilege in a measure in this life. But obviously, in eternity is where we're looking for our eternal reward and our eternal crown. But that crown will only come, that highest glory, as the eternal partner of Christ, can only come when we are prudent and apply the Word of God. Now let's do one more before we quit. Proverbs 15, verse 14. The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. There's a paraphrase of this proverb that reads this way. Intelligent people, and of course that is in the context of scriptural biblical intelligence, intelligent people want more knowledge. But fools only want more nonsense. You know people like that? The paraphrase, the message, puts it this way. An intelligent person is always eager to take in more truth. But fools feed on fast food fads and fancies. It's so important that we learn to develop an appetite for the Word of God. And the earlier we do that in our Christian experience, the better, because too many times, just like it is in the natural, if you develop bad eating habits early in your life, it's hard to change your eating habits. And the same is true in the spirit realm. But as we read in Hebrews, we need to learn to digest the solid food of the Word of God and have a desire for it, hunger for it. And exercise ourselves in those deeper things of God. Those that have learned to feed on the meat of God's Word, they're always looking to know more about the Word of God. You all have different acquaintances and experiences and those that have influenced you. But I remember my great-grandpa Foster, who preached all his life. He was in his 90s, he was 94, I believe, when he died. And I remember to the end how he intently studied his Bible. And this is a man who had preached countless sermons. And yet when I would go up to his room upstairs in my grandma's house, the old man was sitting there reading his Bible. And I thought, why? It's because the wise person, the person of understanding, is always seeking to know more. He wanted to know more and more and more, and he knew there was so much more to know. But then there are so many of God's people that all they want is more foolishness, and they don't even want to hear what the Word of God has to say. Christians that have grown accustomed to being fed with only the milk of the Word, or worse, the ideas and philosophies and entertainment of man, they only have an appetite for more of that. Let's read Hosea 12:1, because I think this was an accurate description of Israel, and I think it's an accurate description of the vast majority of Christians today. Hosea 12:1. We'll close with this passage. Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. That's hot air, by the way. He daily increases lies and desolation. Also, they make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried to Egypt. They take their wealth and their strength and their dependence somewhere other than faith in Jehovah. If we are not content with the simple preaching and teaching of God's Word, then we need to get before God on our knees, on our face, and ask Him for a hunger for the Word of God. Because anything else is just wind, which of course has no nutritional value whatsoever. Being spiritually strong and mature is the only thing that will prepare us to live life in a way that is worth living and that honors God and that will prepare us for eternity. Being spiritually mature, being spiritually wise is the only thing that can do that. So we need to be passionate, zealous in our seeking more and more and more knowledge. As long as you're still breathing, as long as I'm still breathing, God has something for me to learn. Something to prepare me to rule and reign with Christ. And I need to hunger for that. I don't know whether anybody else is enjoying the study in Proverbs, but I'm enjoying it. Some of these, you know, I'm familiar with, but I've never really looked at them as in depth as we're. And I say in depth, we're still pretty well skimming it, but I'm glad for this wisdom. And I want to learn it. And I more than that, I want to apply it to my life. I want to be transformed by these things. But it takes more than me just preaching about it. It takes more than me just reading it. I've got to let the Spirit of God make it real. And so do you. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed.